Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can go ahead and take your seats. Thank you guys for being with us today. It's just great to get back in the church and have some real worship, if that makes any sense, to just to sit in the presence of God. I know we are restricted by what we can do. You know, I was preparing this morning and the Lord deposited that little worship song in my heart, and it was almost like God saying, it's okay for the now, Hugh. It's okay to do it this way for a wee while. It won't always be this way. And it was this. To be in your presence. To sit at your feet. Where your love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire. Oh Lord. This is my desire. It's almost like God is saying, I see your hearts. I know what you want to do. I know what you love to do. I know what you aspire to do. But know my presence right now. And just sit in my presence. And let me love you. Let me bless you. And let my love wash over you. Let me lavish you with all I have for you. In the time of dancing and singing and rejoicing will come again. So I don't know, but that's my desire. Just to be in his presence. And that's really what we've had over these last several months together, is just really acknowledging and understanding and appreciating more the presence of God. Things that we've been so used to doing and thinking of them as normal, and they're not normal. But God is showing us a new way and how to approach the throne of grace and mercy in a very different way. And we're learning and we're understanding. And I believe because of that, God's taking us deeper into a place of depth and understanding and intimacy that perhaps we've longed for and craved for years, but now we're beginning to get on our knees and lie on our faces before him and just let him wash over us. So enjoy that in this season. Things will never go back to normal because the greater things have still to come, amen. You believe him for that? It's okay to say amen. And we can speak, we just can't sing. So we can say amen. And we can acknowledge the word of God. So I want to share something with you today. It might sound a bit bizarre because where we are, but I feel it's relevant. I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. It's a commonly used portion of scripture or verse of scripture. I believe there's something in it for us today that we can gain from. And it's all to do with vision. See, a lot of people right now in the world, and it's okay to look at the news and the circumstances and everything that's going on in the world, but God says, as a people of God, we must have vision. We must see beyond what everyone else has seen as a child of God. So I want to read this to you from five different translations. That's five different Bibles for those who have caught that this morning, and just share it with you to see if you can pick up anything different in these verses. Proverbs 29, verse 18, King James, the good old King James. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. Then the NIV comes with this translation. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. The message, always different, like it though. If people cannot see what God is doing, listen, you might not see it, but God is doing something today. God is doing something in the world. All people are saying is, woe to me, having pity parties. I kind of get that to a certain degree, and we get stuck, and we're in isolation, and we're in lockdown. But in the middle of all of that, we need to see what God is doing. And it's something miraculous, something deep, something wonderful. But we've got to get beyond what the natural eye is allowing us to see and realize there's more, much more beyond that. So, message, if we can't see what God is doing, it says, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. The NLT, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law, this is my favorite one, is joyful. Joyful, joyful, joyful. I love that all the time. Amplified, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. Listen to this. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. Amen. So that's good scripture for us to kick in with today. But the bottom line is, without vision, the people perish. Now the word in here for vision in Hebrew is the word chazon. This is more or less mentally seeing something in a vision or a sight or dream or revelation or some kind of enlightenment. It can also be used for a prophetic word, a word of prophecy. It is to see something that is not physically present, or the ability, watch this, the ability to see beyond what is seen in the physical present as a light piercing through the darkness. And I love that. Move on with that scripture there. The word perish is an incredibly interesting word in the Hebrew. The word perish, we would automatically take to mean to die or to expire. But watch this, and I like this a lot. The Hebrew word pora means to loosen, to expose, to uncover nakedness. Pora was the Hebrew word used where a woman's hair would be let to flow out of her covering, unconstrained in the wind. Her hair becomes directionless and blown in all kinds of directions. So the nakedness of a woman, we understand this in the Hebrew culture, had to do with her hair. It was more or less a euphemism for when her hair was not covered or loosened in public and it was down, we could say she was naked as to speak. So here the thought for you and I is today at Moss Vale, without vision, it's important we hear this today, without vision, the people of God are spiritually exposed and naked. We are blown here and there with every single wind of doctrine, yet there is no need for any one of us to live our lives without a sense of direction and guidance and clarity and vision. Why? Because Jesus, for you and I, has made a way for us to see all things. Amen. We need to see some things. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 through to verse 16. I love this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, amen, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body is joined and held together by every single supporting ligament, grows and it builds itself up in love, and each part does its work accordingly. So understand this, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, Jesus Christ has opened our eyes by faith. By faith in him. Look at that to clarify that in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be, scripture says, ill-treated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking further ahead to the greater reward. Verse 27 again, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw he who is invisible. Praise God for his word. Understand this about Moses. Moses, he actually had spiritual vision. He looked ahead by faith. But up until this point, the man Moses had never brought anyone out of captivity. He had no clue of the course that was actually laid before him. But he just simply knew that God was showing him a vision of something that was to come to pass, something greater for his life in the future. I wonder how many of us have become so complacent and content that we think this is it. Or do we really believe that God has got something greater beyond what we can see right now? It's important for us to think on these things. So here we have Moses staring into the burning bush, and what is revealed to him is the future and the past. Scripture's told us in Hebrews 11 that humanly speaking, Moses actually, people would say, blew it when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But Moses, the man Moses, his vision enabled him to see into another realm, into another world. See, here's what's happened here through this pandemic. Fear has taken hold of the nation, but fear has also taken hold of believers. Fear has crippled us from doing absolutely anything about anything when it comes to acts of faith. But I believe right now, as we're seeing a clearing in the forest right now, that God is speaking to the church yet again, and he's preparing us to throw away our crutches and get ready for the greater things in Christ Jesus that he has prepared and planned for our life. But if we hold on to the crutch of fear, we're going to find ourselves stuck in a rut that might be very hard for some of us to climb out of. Are you hearing this? This is important for us today. To the ruler, look into the New Testament in Mark chapter 5, verse 36. To the ruler of the synagogue, Jesus said these words, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Simple stuff. Do not be afraid, just believe. I believe God is speaking this word to his church today. But we've deafened ourselves or divorced ourselves from an ear that is hearing what the word of God is speaking to our life. And God is saying to some of us right now, stop being afraid of everything and everybody and every word and every circumstance and every issue. Stand up in Christ Jesus, believe you're a child of God, and get your marching shoes on again, because victory is yours, says the Lord. We have to believe these things. What was Jesus saying here in the word of God? He was saying, don't look. Forgive us, Lord. Stop looking with the physical. Are you a child of God or not? Then we operate in the spiritual things, the spiritual realm. Stop looking with the physical, but look with the spiritual to see the unseen. Listen, to see the unseen, we have to ignore what people say at times. We have to. It's imperative. We have to disregard what the world is bombarding us with, what the media is bombarding us with, what the government's bombarding us with. We have to disregard all of that and open our eyes and ears and hearts to the voice of God and hear what God is saying to us regarding our life and our future. Also, listen to this, guys. Don't only try to listen for the audible. That's not going to happen that often to many of us. But understand this, God speaks to you and I in many, many different ways. One more thing, what is Jesus saying here? I believe he's saying, don't be controlled by what you think is logical. The logical stuff, the stuff that makes sense to you. Don't be controlled with that. Believe there is more to life than meets the natural eye, because there is if you catch it in the spirit. So I wonder as we view this today, am I guilty of limiting God? Yes, I am. I have limited God. Anyone else? Would you say that? In my life, I've put restrictions on the Son of God in my life. And the question is, how do I limit God? I'll tell you how I limit God. I limit God by limiting what God can do in me. Limiting God in my own life. That's how it works. I also limit God, I'm not going to go at anybody here, but by procrastinating. Anyone a procrastinator? Oh, just one honest person in the room today. Dearie me. Listen, we put off giving God our all today and think, I'll get it tomorrow, I'll catch up with God tomorrow. And by that time, someone else has stepped into the role that God has called you to do. Today's your opportunity to say yes to God. Clear my vision. Clear my head. Let me see, God, what it is you've got for me. Because you see the Word of God? The Word of God tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. This is how it plays out. In other words, my vision or your vision must be spirit-born, spirit-fed, spirit-led to accomplish anything great for God. If we could just take for a minute, if we could just take or observe a good look at God, seek God in a way that we've never done before, and begin to understand or comprehend how awesome and how great our God is, we will not then hesitate to believe God for the greater things in our life, because He will show up and show up and show up for a heart that seeks after Him like never before. Now, I have to confess something here. I'm going to die digress for a minute or two, okay? So just go with me and go with the flow. I have to confess that I have a little bit of a weak spot for martial arts movies. I'm sorry. You can't beat Bruce Lee. You can't beat him literally either. You can't beat Bruce Lee. Up there with the great movies of all time. The great movies of all time, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Ever seen it? You've no lived. But back to Bruce Lee. I want to say something here, maybe to help us out, we can catch something here. Bruce Lee had a fighting style unlike any other person. You know why? He had a vision for it. It was a style that he matured and developed all by himself. But here's the important part about this fighting style. The main part of his fighting style was that he actually aimed 6 inches beyond his target. Think about that for a second. Think about this spiritually for a little bit this morning. What a concept I think that might be for believers, for Christians today. Because here's how it often works. Are we just aiming at what we can see? Are we just aiming at the target that's visible to us? What if we could embrace this concept of aiming beyond and going beyond what we can actually see? Not quite seeing what it is, but knowing it's there. What if we went beyond? I begin to think, what could we accomplish if we saw beyond what we can see in the natural, and then God opens our eyes to see something dynamic and beautiful and spiritual as we aim beyond that? You see, to understand vision brings you and I a faith to believe God for all things. Absolutely everything. Come with me to Romans chapter 4 and verses 18. We'll read down to verse 26. It's tremendous. It says in the very first line there, against all hope. How many have ever felt you've been up against it? All hope is gone. All hope is lost. That was better, the 6 of us. So the rest of you have lived a cushy life in that comparison. I'm up against it every day. I live with Gales. Great. Listen. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was now about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was already dead. Yet, did he waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave all the glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Verse 22, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord, hallelujah, from the dead. Verse 25, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life, praise God, for our justification. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. Listen, I think we should be saying things like this today, or praying things like this. God, help us have enough faith to believe in you more. create more faith in us to rise up more, to believe even more in you, God. You know, you think about the desperate daddy in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. The father cried out or exclaimed, Lord, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Help me right now. See, God will step in every time we cry out. He will step in every time we shout. God will help my faith. He will help your faith become stronger. How? Let me tell you how your faith becomes stronger. It becomes stronger through the Word. Are you hearing this? If this lies in the shelf of your house and gathers dust, and you wonder why all you see is a circumstance and issues before you, it's because you're not being given clarity through the Word of God. This is where clarity comes, through the Word of God, through seeking, devouring, enjoying, gobbling up the Word of God every day of your life, feasting on it every single day of your life. It's through the Word, through us seeking the vision, the divine revelation that comes, the inspiration that comes by the Holy Spirit through the written Word of God. You see, there's so many things that influence my service for God, influence your service for God, which we have absolutely no control over. Maybe it's our background, maybe it's our age, our giftedness, but let me tell you this, there is one important factor that we do have control over, and it's how much I choose to believe in God. That's my choice. I believe in God with all my heart. You see, our faith must be, it needs to be strengthened by reading and believing the Word. But Scripture also says, you've heard it before, we don't need that much faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed seemingly can move mountains, hallelujah, according to the Word of God. Because remember, our faith in Him always, always, always includes action. It includes activity. James chapter 2 verse 17 says, in the same way, by faith itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? Dead. It is dead. Now, all you parents, many parents in here today are looking in this morning, how many of you have heard this conversation or had this conversation? Mum, I'm starving and I've got nothing to eat. Mum, I'm starving and we in the house have nothing to eat. How many of your kids have said that staring into a full fridge or full cupboard? Yep, I've heard it before. What they're basically saying is they don't like the choices that are sitting right in front of them. Or worse still, they don't want to go to all the hard work of taking those ingredients and making something with them. Or how many automatically, and we've probably all done this, how many automatically reject something new or something different on their plate without even tasting it? Listen, Lord help us if we are the same spiritually. Listen to this. So many have become apathetic in their faith. So many have become lazy and unadventurous in their walk with God. And God is looking today for vision-sighted adventurers who will step out the boat and run the race with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's looking for today. Our problem is that too often we want to stay. We want to remain in that place of comfort. But look at what God asked most of the Bible heroes to do. Then God steps in. He kind of puts it in man's hands. Then He takes it out of man's hands. And He says to you and I, there's only so much you can do, guys. You can't do it all, but I am the Lord your God. I'm stepping in. I'm going to do the rest of this for you. Has God ever stood in your life like that before? Many times for me. You see, we want to keep a hold onto the things that we can physically change or the things that we can physically alter. But what we're hearing today is this. We have become scared to reach beyond. We become complacent and scared to go that little bit further. I want to put a challenge out to the church today. Let's commit, if we can, let's commit to reaching out and letting God have His way completely in our lives. Because you know we sung about this today. Courage is going forward in spite of fear. That's what it is. It's keeping moving on, regardless of the elements or circumstances that surround our life. It's being courageous in our walk with God. In the Bible, was the man David afraid? Yes, but he always had a cause. And men and women today, listen up to what the Lord is saying. If you don't have a cause in the kingdom of God, you'll become complacent. You'll become comfortable. If we don't have something we believe in, something we are fighting for every day of our life, our faith, our Christian journey, our walk with God, if we're not standing up for who and him whom we believe in, then we're going to just keep on backing away and letting others do what actually God is wooing you and calling you to do as a man and woman of God. David also had a real and present danger in every situation, like a giant with a sword and a spear. We, hallelujah, are probably never going to have to face a giant with a sword and a spear. But other things come into our life of conflict, contentious areas. They come into our life and we have to have the wisdom and clarity and guidance of God to overcome and the courage to press through in these things. Let me ask you this today, or let me say this to you today. God asks his people, we are his people in here today. He asks us from time to time, not every day, but he asks us from time to time to attempt the improbable so that God can show up and do the impossible. You know that? That's how it works. He steps in and does the rest. You see, those who went before us, our mentors, our leaders, our heroes of the faith who went before us, very likely wanted to stay in their comfort zones also. I mean, listen to this. What if Noah had approached God and says, God, sorry, I don't do boats, I don't like animals. Stay in the comfort zone. What if Moses had said, I don't like big crowds of people, God. Don't like the big crowds. What if David had said, I don't do giants, let me alone with my sheep. And what if little Mary had said, God, I don't like babies. We wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here today if those who'd gone before us had stayed comfortable. It's when God makes us uncomfortable, we begin to do things. We begin to get stretched. We begin to not limit God any longer. We begin to let God have his way in our life. Let me say this to you in love today. The biggest challenge or the biggest Goliath in every single one of our lives is ourselves. It's you and I. Because we wake up and we look in the mirror every day and we see the same person we saw yesterday. And we don't look beyond the reflection in that mirror and we don't see the handiwork of God moving in our lives. Why don't we today have more faith? Why don't we have more courage? Why don't we have more vision? Listen, it's not God's fault. None of this is God's fault. In fact, listen, if we could kick the person responsible for our doubts, not one of us would sit down for a week. Not one of us. Our backsides would be so sore. Listen, God helps you and I to be courageous in the task that he's presented to us. You've all heard the name Helen Keller, the first person to overcome both deafness and blindness to earn a university degree. She endured as one of the world's most inspiring figures. And we know that wonderful quote that she says is echoed many, many sermons. She says the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Let's return to Proverbs 29, verse 18. Just go with me here again one more time. It speaks of the prophetic revelation of God and his word. The scriptures, the written word, contain the prophetic revelation of God in its absolute fullest. I want you just to now look at the second part of this verse, five times again from five translations. Number one, he that keepeth the law, the word, is happy. Amen. Blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Three, when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Four, whoever obeys the law is joyful. Number five, happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. Listen, church, today, those who hear God's word and are saved by grace, these are found to be in keeping with God's law, having been declared in the word of God righteous by the merit and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Church, fulfillment and happiness are by keeping God's commandments, which can only be known by attention to the word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8 puts it this way. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understand what was being read. Blessed are we when we keep the law of God. So what have we heard today that we can take from this service today? Number one, without vision, the people perish. Yes, they do. Number two, Jesus Christ has opened our eyes by faith. Number three, the word tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Number four, vision brings us a faith to believe. Number five, faith includes action. Number six, God, he does. He asks his people to attempt the improbable so our good God can then do the impossible. And finally, blessed are we when we keep the law of God. Would you stand with me this morning as we finish up with this closing portion of Scripture? It's from 1 Peter 1, verses 23 and 25. Close your eyes and hear this today. For you have been born again, hallelujah, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.